We need to see after the Shemaya here.
Right.
So Rabbi said, we're on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and we're trying to go through the sugya. Now the sugya is focused on Rabbi Yochanan. So let's just give a little bit of a review of the Shita Rabbi Yochanan here on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and then hopefully we'll understand the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, and also the proof from the Braisa and the Tufta on Rabbi Elazar, the proof to Rabbi Yochanan and the Tufta on Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Yochanan says the following. We have machlokas in our Mishnah between Rabbi and Chachamim in the case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus. According to Rabbi Meir, in the case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, you found a shtar and you have no loss in returning the shtar to the malva. If the lov admits that he hasn't paid back the shtar is not collectible from lekuchos because it has no achrayus, so give it back to the malva, and there's no loss. So Rabbi Yochanan says that makes sense, because Rabbi Meir holds that this shtar is a valid shtar, even though it has no achrayus, and the lova admits that he owes the money, so you don't lose anything by giving him back the shtar. Because mimonavshach, to collect from B'nai Chori, from the Lova himself, the Lova admits that he owes the money. He didn't pay back. And to collect from Lekuchos, the Mishubodim, that you can't collect because there's no Achrayus in the Shtar. The Rabbanan hold that no. That in a case of a Shtar that doesn't have Shibudim, we're going to apply the principle of Achrayus Tos Sofer, which means that even though the Sofer omitted any mention of Achrayus, nevertheless, we consider as if there's a chrayus in the shtar. And therefore, if you return the shtar to the malva, then you're exposing the lekuchos to be vulnerable to collect with the shtar. And it could very well be that it's shalok yedin. Again, why shalok yedin? That's a whole different story. That's either Rav Asi shalok yedin because maybe they wrote the shtar before the matmos was given over, or it's Abai's principle of chayshin and lekinunya, whatever it might be. But you can't give back the shtar if the lekuchos are collectible. The Chachamim hold that in this case of a shtar, even if achrayus was omitted from the shtar, nevertheless the testimony of the edim is on achrayus because it's a tol sofer. All this is true in the case of kishachayev lova, kishalova moda, that the lova is moda that he owes the money. If on the other hand the lova denies that he owes the money, then Rabbi Yochanan says he can't return the shtar to the malva because maybe it's the lova who dropped the shtar and the malva will collect shalok kedin. So the Gemara says Tanya kavase de Rabbi Yochanan. So let's see if we can find the place. We're in the last of the skinny lines here. Well, actually, two lines up before the lines get wide. Tanya kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan v'tiyuvta de Rabbi Elazar v'chada tiyuvta de Shmuel v'tarti. Okay, so we'll go through. This will be a good opportunity to sort of review the sugya and go through the various shitos as we see the braisa. So let's again read it one more time. Tanyat kavase de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a braisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. It's a tiyuvta de Rabbi Elazar bechada. We can only reject one point or one part of Rabbi Elazar's statement, but it's going to completely undermine Shmuel. So let's see the braisa. Matzo shtarei chov v'yesh bahen achrayis nechosim. Afal pisha shneim modim lo yachze lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. Okay, so this touches on the concept of kinunya that we mentioned in yesterday's discussion, and it means the following: even though the lova is moda that the shtar should be returned to the malva, but since it's achrayus in the shtar, then we have to be choshesh that maybe the lova and the malva are working in tandem in cahoots, in order to be gover from the lekuchos shalokidin, and that's called chayshinon lekinunya. Now this din is true even according to the Chacham, just that the Chacham will say you don't even need achrayus in the shtar because achrayus tos sofer. Ein behem achrayus nechosim, But what happens if there's no achrayus in the chosim? This is going to be the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. And Bizman shall lova moda. So lova admits that the shtar belongs to the malva. It didn't fall from me, it fell from him. Is yachzil a malva? That again makes sense according to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is going to hold that in the absence, right, in the absence of achrayus in the shtar, there's no collection from the lekucha. So there's no fear that by giving the malva back to shtar, the lekuchas will lose anything. There's no fear that the lova could lose anything because he's moda that he didn't pay back the chov. Is yachzir la malva? Fine. But ein alova moda. Now in the case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, even Rav Meir is going to have to agree that although we're not worried about the lekuchos, but if the lova denies that the malva dropped the shtar, but rather he claims that he himself dropped the shtar after he paid back the chov, then by returning the shtar to the malva, you're causing a hefsi to the lova, and therefore lo yachzir, lo lezev, lo lezev. Now again, you may ask, why don't we return the shtar to the lova? What does the malva lose by returning the shtar to the lova? And you can answer in two ways. Number one, the shtar in the hands of the malva of the lova will be a shovar. It will be like a proof that he paid up the chov, which the malva denies. And secondly, it could very well be that the malva wants the shtar, if he claims he dropped the shtar, even if you make it impossible for him to collect from the lova, but he still wants the shtar, as we said, lotzer al pi tzlichusa.
What happened to the argument that if it was paid off, which is one of the tainas that the lova is possibly making here, right, it gets ripped up? And it's not ripped off. So how does that
kind of
even...
Right. We always have to ask the kash on the malva and the kash on the lova. The kash on the malva is, how come you dropped the shtar? It must have been that you got paid. And we're going to ask the kash on the lova, how did you drop the shtar? You should have ripped up the shtar if you actually paid up the chov. So we basically, it's like one race against the other, and I guess they equalize each other, and we don't know what to do with the shtar. We really don't know who dropped the shtar. If the lova admits that he didn't drop the shtar, then for sure we give it to the malva. But if the lova denies that what I meant to say was the following. If the lova admits that the malva dropped the shtar, then there's no loss to return the shtar to the malva, because the lova admits that it was the malva who dropped the shtar. If on the other hand the lova is claiming that he dropped the shtar, then we don't know really what to do. The malva is claiming he dropped the shtar. So that's all in a case where the lova denies that he paid back the chov, and therefore he insists that he dropped the shtar. Shahoy Rabbi Meir Omer, shtarei chov sheyesh b'hem achrayus nechosim, gove minichosim mishubadim, but she'ein b'hem achrayus nechosim, gove minichosim b'nei chorin. So this is exactly what we saw in Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yochanan said, according to Rabbi Meir, the issue is a twofold issue. First, the issue is going to be the lekuchos, and that's going to apply in the case of a shtar, sheyesh b'hem achrayus. And the issue will be if the lova denies that he paid the chov, he denies the chov and he claims he paid back the chov, then even in the case of a shtar, she'ein bo achrayus, where the lekuchos are off the hook, but nevertheless we can't give the shtar back to the malva because the lova is claiming that he paid up the shtar. So the only condition in which Rabbi Meir would allow you to return the shtar would be in a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, and the lova is moda that he did not drop the shtar, he never paid back the chov. Chachomim omrim, Chachomim are going to say that even if there's no achrayus in the shtar, we still cannot return the shtar to the malva because achrayus tov sofer. Chachomim echod zeh v'echod zeh, even in the case of a shtar that has no achrayus in it, shibud nechasim was not written in the shtar, is gove minechasim mishubadim. Why? Because achrayus tov sofer. So it means that everybody knows that a shtar is a kinyan of shibudim, and that's something that the lekuchos have to be forewarned about. If you return this shtar, which has no achrayus mentioned in it, to the malva, the malva is going to collect for the lekuchos, because lekuchas are meant to know about the shtar. The shtar is a kol, and every shtar milva, in order to upgrade the halva from halva bal peh to halva b'shtar, has to include shibud nechasim. Meaning, basically, what the Chacham is saying is that there's no point whatsoever in creating a shtar if the shtar is not collectible from Shibuda, because if we're going to talk about a milveh, then what do you gain by the shtar? What does the shtar do to the halva per se? Now, you could say that the shtar does a lot to the halva because it makes it impossible for the lover to deny that he owes the money, because the malva is holding on to the shtar and shtar could be other by boy. But the Chachamim say no. That's not the way the Chachamim organize the shtar. So just to review one point of yesterday's discussion, the entire entity of shtar is problematic. Every shtar is problematic. Shtar milva no less than any other shtar, because the Torah says, "Al pi shnayim edim yakum dover." Al mi piem, the Gemara says, "Velo mi pi ksava." So every edus has to be an edus bal peh, where the edim come into Bezdin and they testify. So what is a shtar? A shtar is something which somehow changes the nature of the edus from edus bichsav to a shtar. If it was Edus Bichsav, where the Edom just commit their testimony to writing, that's possible. That's Mipi V'lo Mipi Ksavam. But if we breathe into the document a status of a shtar, then it's a shtar. And a shtar is Edus Bichsav, that's kosher. But only if it's a shtar. So the Chachamim say that in the case of a shtar milva, how do you create the shtar? How did the Chachamim envision the protocol, if you will, the preconditions to create a shtar? And the Chachamim considered that if it's a milva bal peh, he didn't have to write a shtar. I'll give you an example. We have something called a ksav yodo, which means that the lover just signs on a document, there's no edim whatsoever, that I owe you kach v'kach. And he gives that over to the malva. That alone is not a shtar. It's only a raya. It's only a... there's no testimony in that piece of paper. It's an IOU note. But it's enough for the malva to say to the lover, hey, I have a signature of yours in which hodas bal din, you admit that you owe the money. But it's not a shtar. And the nafka mina is that a ksav yodo is not collectible from lukuchos. So if the malva is holding on to the ksav yodo, he has no wherewithal, he has no, shall I say, security or fallback position to collect from the lukuchos. It's a great shtar to hold on to if the lover claims, I never borrowed money from you. And that'll be a stira to Hodas Bal Din that he did borrow the money. But as far as collecting from Lekuchos, it's not a shtar, and you can't collect from Lekuchos. Now, how do we upgrade from a ksav yado to a shtar? And the Chachamim say that we need Eidim. Once the Eidim sign on the shtar, that gives you the upgrade. Now, what is the purpose of the upgrade? Why did the Rabbanan create this institution of a shtar? After all, ksav yodo would have been just as good. Meaning, if the lover denies the shtar, the dalva, or he claims parati, the malva could produce a ksav yodo. What's the gap, or what's the upgrade between ksav yodo and a shtar? And the answer is shibudin. The answer is lekuchos. The answer is that this shtar generates a kinyan. I don't see the mention of shibudim in the shtar. The answer is that's what the edim are testifying on. The edim are through the shtar are what's the word I want to use? They are not changing. They are transferring. No, not transferring. They are
transforming.
Excellent. Thank you. They are transforming the ksav yodo into a shtar. And what does it mean to transform the ksav yodo into a shtar? They're transforming the shtar, the alva, from a chov bal peh to a chov b'shtar. What's the difference between a chov bal peh and a chov b'shtar? Shibudin. That the lover through a shtar is meshabed his karka for the malva. He's makne his karka to the malva. If the edim leave out shibudim, then according to Chacham, we're at a crossroads. We have one of two choices. Either we could say it's not a shtar, because they deliberately left out shibudim, or we're going to say that they mistakenly left out shibudim and it is a shtar. Here's where the Chachamim face that challenge. And the answer is the following, that if they want to make this shtar into a shtar, they must assume shibudim. Why? Because the Chachamim hold that what makes the shtar into a shtar is the fact that this shtar is kona shibudim. Otherwise, it becomes it remains a nul bal peh. So that the achrayis tos sofer therefore means that if we want to make the shtar into a shtar, and again, why do we want to make the shtar into a shtar? The answer is because the bal hashtar, meaning the malvis holding on to the shtar. I'm not talking about a case where you found the shtar. But the malv is holding on to the shtar, and there are two eidim signed on the shtar. Once you give that shtar into the malva's hands, whether it's the lova who gives the shtar into the malva's hands, or a finder, you know, who says, "Oh, I found the shtar," and the malva says, "I dropped the shtar." The very moment you give the shtar into the malva's hands, it ceases; it strips itself of its original identity as eidus b'ksav, and it gets an upgrade to the status of Eidus B'Shtar. Do you follow? Because if not for the Chal Shem Shtar, then it's Eidus B'Ksav. So the Chachom hold, that's called Achrayis Tos Sofer. What does Achrayis Tos Sofer mean? Tfisas Bal HaShtar, that we believe that this is a Shtar. And it's not Eidus B'Ksav. It's not that the Eidim are just committing their Eidus to writing, and they say, "Well, we saw that the Lova borrowed such and such from the Malva." No. That they can't do on a shtar, because that would be Eidus B'Ksav. What makes it into a shtar? The Rabbanan say it's got to fulfill or live up to certain standards and requirements, and that requirement is that this shtar be meshavet. If the Malva is holding on to the shtar, and now we have a question, well, is it a shtar, is it not a shtar? Then the shtar in the hands of the Malva testifies about itself, so to speak, "I am a shtar." And according to Rabbanu, what does it mean, "I am a shtar"? This is a milv of a shtar. What does it mean, it's a milv of a shtar? It means it's gvir milakuchos. If, on the other hand, this shtar is just a piece of paper that we find in the streets, even if we could clarify that the Eidim signed on the shtar, it doesn't matter, because Eidim signing on a shtar is only Eidus B'Ksav. When does it become a shtar? When it's handed over to the Baal HaShtar. Who's the Baal HaShtar? The Malva. When the Malva holds on to the shtar, it becomes a shtar. In other words, Tfisas Baal HaShtar makes the shtar into a shtar, and it changes, converts, the upgrades the Alva from Alva Baal Peh to a Milv of a shtar. What is the nature of Milv of a shtar? What is its advantage? What does it project, or how does it have an increment above and beyond a Milv Baal Peh? The answer is it's collectible from Shibudin. The shtar becomes now not just the shtar raya, because as a shtar raya it's Eidus B'Ksav, but a shtar kinyan, and it's the vehicle through which the lova is makne shibudim to the malva. Now we want to calculate, having said that this price reflects the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, who says the machlok shim Rabbi Meir Chachamim in our Mishnah is in a case, in a scenario where the lova is moda, and the whole machlokus is whether the shtar is collectible from the lekuchos. According to Rabbi Meir, it is not collectible from the lekuchos because there's no shibud written in the shtar, and therefore there's no danger, no loss in returning the shtar to the malva. Whereas the chachamim hold that the shtar itself has shibudim in it by definition. And why does it have shibudim? Because Achrayis Tos Sofer. And even if there's no shibudim mentioned in the shtar, it's in the shtar. If you give the shtar back to the malva, he might collect from lekuchos. And here we have to be choshish for kinunya, that maybe in fact the lova paid up the shtar, he gave it back to the malva, or he agrees to give it back to the malva, and together they'll be going from lekuchos. How can you be going from lekuchos if there's no Achrayis in the shtar? The answer is because Chachamim hold Achrayis Tos Sofer. Tiyuvta de Rabbi Eliezer, de Rabbi Lozer Bechada. Why? The Omer Rabbi Lozer holds that according to Rabbi Meir, Shtar Shein Bo Achrayis Nechosim, Eino Govel Lo, Minechosim Shubad Velo, Minechosim Bnei Chorim. Meaning that the entire discussion about a Shtar Shein Bo Achrayis, according to Rabbi Meir, is all about Lotzer Al Pi Tzlichus. The only issue about returning the shtar to the malva is the question of who owns the niyar hashtar, the paper of the shtar. As far as the shtar itself is concerned, the shita of Rabbi Lozer is that according to Rabbi Meir, the shtar itself is meaningless. Why? Because if you leave out achrayus, then you cannot even collect from the lova. And again, what we're saying is that the shtar is not a shtar unless it's collectible from the lekucho. So unless you upgrade the halva from a milva balper and give it the status of a milva shtar, which means that it's collectible from lekuchos. Rabbi Meir doesn't hold from achrayis tos sofer, and therefore, if the shtar doesn't have achrayis in it, it's not a shtar at all. Call it edus b'ksav if you like, but it's not a shtar. And with edus b'ksav, it's meaningless. You can't collect from anything from it. So why not give back the shtar to the malva? And that's exactly what Meir say. You're going to give back the shtar to the malva. Why are you going to give the shtar back to the malva?
Wallpaper.
For wallpaper, exactly. Excellent. Omar, and then Rabbi Elazar says that Bein le Rabbi Meir, Bein le Rabbanan lo chai shinu l'kinunya. According to the sheet of Rabbi Elazar, we're not choshesh for kinunya, which is again, that's going to be the overlap between Rabbi Elazar and Shmuel. Right? Shmuel says we're not choshesh for kinunya. We have a natural, shall I say, belief in the ethical upstanding citizen that he would not do such a thing. You can't get the malva and the lova together for kinunya. And yet the Brisa says that Ishtar she'ein bo achrayis nechosim mi v'shabdei hu delo gavi ha mivnei chori migba gavi, that this shtar is meaningful, and unless you get the hodah of the lover that he did not pay back the shtar, let me say it in a more positive way. It's only when we get the haldah of the lova that he did not pay back the shtar, then we can return the shtar to the malva. According to Rabbi Meir, who holds that ein achrayis tosof, which means that in the absence of achrayis, you're not establishing any vulnerability vis-a-vis the lekuchos, and all you're left with is a shtar that's collectible from the lova. And the lover himself admits that he has to pay the money. So that the Rav Meir holds in this brisa that the reason why we return the shtar to the malva is because the lover admits that he did not pay back the shtar. And once the lover admits that he did not pay this back the shtar is activated. Is echomim baglit hechsher? We validate. That's the word. We validate the shtar. Again, we cannot validate the shtar vis-a-vis the lekuchos. If we would, we wouldn't give it back to the malva because the shtar is no achrayis in it. That's what made shita. But the shtar, according to Abraisa, still remains a valid shtar to collect from bnei chori. It has the status of a shtar only vis-a-vis the taina of the lova. So in order to return the shtar to the malva, we have to assume, as specified in this brisa, that the lova is moda. Well, I have news for you. According to Rabbi Eliezer, even if the lova would deny the shtar, we would still return the shtar to the malva. Why? Because the shtar is meaningless. And you cannot use the shtar against the lova. So the shtar is only worth, as Yechiel says very well, wallpaper. But why can't the lova claim that it's his wallpaper? And the answer is because he denies the shtar. He's saying that the shtar is a ziruv. And if the shtar is a ziruv, then it wasn't his shtar to begin with. Who is Mazayif the shtar? Not me, says the lova. For sure not me, I would only lose by the ziv. It was the malva who was mezayif the shtar. So if the malva is mezayif the shtar, we can give him back the shtar. So let's again understand what does the Gemara mean by saying tyuvta de Rabbi Elazar bechada. According to Rabbi Elazar, a shtar she'ein bo achrayis, according to Rabbi Meir, is worthless. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's worthless. And since it's worthless, therefore, we can return the shtar to the malva, correct? The lova doesn't lose anything because the shtar in the hands of the malva is not even effective to collect from the lekuchos.
From him.
I'm sorry, from the lova. Just 1 second. No, I'm thinking of the next sentence that I just want to talk about the lekuchos for a minute. And it's a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, so the lekuchos are off the hook. Because Rabbi Meir holds that if there's no achrayis in the shtar, you can't collect from lekuchos. Now, The Braisa says that, again, we'll quote the Braisa once again. Hoy Rabbi Meir Omer, Shtore Chov Sheesh Be Machrais Nechosim Gov Min Nechosim Mishubod. That if the shtar has a chrayis, then it's collectible from the chosim mishubodim. Shtar she'ein bo a chrayis nechosim, mi meshabdei hu delo gavi. That's the language of the braisa. Right? Again, we'll read the braisa a third time. Shohoi Rabbi Meir Omer. This is the lashon of the braisa. Shtar she'esh bo a chrayis nechosim gov nechosim mishubodim. Oh, she'ein bo a chrayis nechosim gov. Which means that we're going to have to assume that our Rabbi Meir and our Mishnah is talking about a case kisha chayav moda, that the lova is moda, correct? And since the lova is moda, there's nothing lost by giving back the shtar to the malach. According to Rabbi Lazar, the shtar itself, according to Rabbi Meir, is meaningless. So even if the lova would say that the shtar is mezuyaf, we would still return the shtar to the malach.
And if the lova says it's moda, the shtar is still not worth collecting and still worth nothing anyway. So what would you do in that case?
He's not moda or he is moda?
The lova is moda, contra lova.
If he's moda, that what? That the shtar is a valid shtar.
It's not a valid shtar.
Right.
So what do you do with it? You still give it back because it's still wallpaper.
Right.
So
right.
It doesn't matter whether it's moda or not, contra lova. You give it back to the malach anyway.
Right, and the Braisa seems to say that what? That the reason why we would hesitate to give the shtar back to the malve is because the lova denies that he owes the money. But we will give back the shtar to the malve if the lova is moda. That whole distinction doesn't make sense according to Rabbi Lazar. Why? Because Rabbi Lazar would say that the shtar is meaningless in any event. Even if the lova would be moda, you still can't use the shtar to collect from the lova. Let's read the Gemara inside just one more time. Just want to make sure I have the, because I have to get to the kinunya part. We didn't get to the kinunya part here, okay? So again, bebraisa ketani, etc. That we read a few times, correct? And that's against Rabbi Lazar. Why? Because Rabbi Lazar holds that according to Rabbi Meir, you can't use the shtar at all. And so that's called tiyuvta de Rabbi Lazar bechada. Oh. But let's read the next line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ketani." It says in the Braisa, "Bein Rabbi Meir bein l'Rabban Chayshinon l'Kinunya." How do we see this in the Braisa? I didn't see that in the Braisa. Just one second. We mentioned it before, but I forgot exactly why. Oh, so in a case where there is achrayus, right? If there is achrayus in the shtar, then even Rabbi Meir agrees that you cannot return the shtar to the malva, even if the lova is moda, correct? And why is that? Because kuliyamalo pli, everybody agrees that chayshinon lekinunya. So therefore, afal pi shneim modim lo yachzul lo lezev lo lezev alma chayshinon lekinunya. So why does he say tufta de Rabbi Lozov echad? I'm a little confused here. It seems to me that there's a double. Just one second, give me a few minutes if you don't mind to work out the mathematics. Again, on the one end, we're saying that according to this price, everything depends upon whether the lova is moda. And if the lova is moda, then in the shtar shebo achrayus, Rabbi Meir says we return the shtar to the malva. And the reason for that is because Gavi mi b'nei chori, and the lova himself admits that he owes the chov. Rabbi Lazar was the one who said that no, that even the Rabbi Meir agrees that if there's no achrayus in the shtar, then the shtar is meaningless even to be gover from the lova. So therefore it's irrelevant as to whether or not the shtar is, whether or not the lova is moda or not moda. That was one tiyuvta. But now we have another tiyuvta because the Braisa says that if it's a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, I'm sorry, if it's a shtar she'yesh bo achrayus, then you're exposing the lekuchos to kinunya, meaning that lova, even though he's admitting that he didn't pay back the chov, but really he did pay back the chov, and that's against Rabbi Lazar. Oh, isn't that also against Rabbi Lazar? One second, alma chayshina lekinunya. Oh, here I have a note. The lo kedivri Rabbi Lazar shesom shebaofen shalova moda bechovo. Machzirin shtar sheyesh bo shibud nechosim. Right. So let's go back to Rabbi Elazar one second. Om Rabbi Elazar machlokes b'she'ein chayav mode. Right. Avol kishechayav mode. Is l'diriyakol lo yachs? L'diriyakol yachs. V'lo chayshin l'piron. So Rabbi Elazar says lo chayshin l'piron. So why is that called bechado? Just one second. I see. He says you have to go back. Let me just see. Tufted Rabbi Elazar bechado. One second. Maybe there's. I skipped something here apparently, but I don't know what I skipped. Just one second. Alma, so why is it called Bechada? Re'eim is a Tufta, Rablos Bechada. You know what? I'm going to read this note number Chaf Hey, and we'll see if that helps us. I'm just trying to figure out Bechada because it seems like there's a double issue here. One issue is what's the status of a shtar She'eim Bo Achrayis, according to Rabbi Meir? Is it a shtar that's valid against the lokeach, against the lova, and therefore the lova would have to be moda? And the second issue is, in a case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayis, are we choshesh?
And the lova is moda.
Shtar she'ein bo achrayis, and so again, if it's a shtar she'ein bo achrayis, we have machlokas where the shtar is collectible from the lova, and if it's a shtar she'ein bo achrayis, do we have to worry about kinunya? So why is that called chado? Just one second. He says the following. I mean, it could be we have to read the next piece of Gemara. Oh, I'm sorry. That's dumb. Frek the Gemara, let's read the next line. Oh, honey, tarti, who... Yeah, sorry. See, I didn't get this far in my preparation.
You could be writing Gemara.
Yeah. Okay, but I still want to get back to this footnote here, because I think he has something to add. Okay, vaha hani tarti hu. He says, number one, we have a question, what's the status of shtar she'ein bo achrayis according to Rabbi Meir? Number two, in the case of shtar she'ein bo achrayis, we have a question about whether chayshin l'piron. Now Bryce says chayshin l'piron, and if we cannot return the shtar, even in the case of the lova moda, because we're going to mess up the lekuchos. Whereas Rabbi Elazar seems to assume that there's no problem returning such a shtar. And I think Rabbi Elazar says this, Divrei HaKol Yachzir, everybody agrees Yachzir. So the Gemara says Chadahu. Okay, so we're now on the top of Daf Yudalid Omid Aleph. Chad Tamhu. Dimishum de Ka'omer Rabbi Elazar Machlokes Bishayin Chayav Mode Hu Mitaritz Hochi. I see. In other words, Rabbi Elazar has to come up with a machlokes, because there is a machlokes recorded in our Mishnah. So therefore, these two issues about the status of the shtar and whether we're choshes l'kinunya are, in a sense, interdependent, habahatalia, because otherwise you're going to get messed up. You'll end up without a machlokes. How is that so? Once Rabbi Elazar says that you have machlokes in the case of Ein Chayav Moda, which means that you have to worry about Kinunya, is therefore Hu Mitaritz Hochi, he has to hold that in the case of a shtar She Ein Bo Achrayis, then it's not collectible at all. Okay, I'm going to read to you the note. Rabosa, you have the general framework here of the mathematics. What we're going to try to prove is that although the Braisa contradicts Rabbi Elazar in two different points, but Rabbi Elazar is forced to accept both points based on one of the two points, because otherwise he'll have no machlokas in our Mishnah. He says, Shnei adinim she'omer Rabbi Elazar lo kedivrei Braisa nemru machmas tam echad. So the double contradiction from this Bryce to Rabbi Elazar is based on one premise, so to speak. Once you accept that premise, then willy-nilly, you have no choice but to create a double machlokas, a double stira. How is that so? Mishum de ka'omer Rabbi Elazar. Since Rabbi Elazar says in interpreting our Mishnah, that machlokes be she'ein chayav mode, the lova is not mode, Barelli's telling us that the shtar is a whole bluff. So now we have machlokes tanoim, says Rabbi Lozor, do we give back the shtar to the malve in a case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus? Why? Because mimonafshach, says Rabbi Meir, you don't lose anything vis-a-vis the lekuchos because the shtar is no achrayus. You don't lose anything vis-a-vis the lova because the lova is mode.
No, because it's missing the achrayus and it's not a
kshtar
at all.
No, I'm saying.
So it's not
mode. The lova is mode, correct? Right? Isn't that what it says? Oh, it says she'ein alova. Oh, I'm sorry. Ein achayv mode. Right. So the lova is not mode. So again, according to Rabbi Lazar, the lova is not mode, and therefore the lova is now vulnerable to collection from the shtar. Because according to Rabbi Meir, the shtar is valid vis-a-vis Bnei Chori. Okay, fine. So now we have machlokes with regard to what kind of a shtar. A shtar she'ein bo achrayus, correct? Ein bo achrayus. So the lekuchos are off the hook. And Rabbi Meir is going to say that what? Just one second. That she'ein achayev mode. So what would Rabbi Meir say? That what? That we second, what kind of shtar are we talking about now? And what was the machlokes? Just want to get the facts down on the ground. Machlokes b'she'ein achayev mode. And we're talking about a shtar she'ein bo achrayus nechasim. So ein bo achrayus nechasim and ein ashtar ein omode, because according to Rabbi Lozor, the shtar without achrayus is not even collectible from Bnei Chori, correct? Do I have the mathematics correct? That according to Rabbi Lozor, right, the shtar that doesn't have achrayus is not even worth anything, right? The oma, because Rabbi Lozor holds the shtar ein bo achrayus ein ogove lo min afilu. So therefore a mayor would allow you to return the shtar because mimonafshach. As far as the lekuchos, it's ein bo achrayus. As far as the lov is concerned, the shtar, since it doesn't have achrayus, is not collectible from the lova. And as far as the value of the shtar itself, the lov is claiming it's mezuyah. So he's moded not only that he... No, I'm sorry. On the one hand, he denies the chov, but it doesn't matter because the malva holding on to the shtar doesn't have a power against the lova. Ah, you'll say, but the lova claims that he dropped the shtar. No, the lova is claiming mizuyah. Okay, now kevon sheomar machlokes b'she'ein chayev mode, correct? Is hutzrach Rabbi Lozor l'sayim avak shechayev mode divrei hakol. Yachzir. Okay, I'm not exactly sure why that's so, but let's see. So now, in a case of what? That the lov is moder and the shtar has no achrayus, so you don't lose anything by giving back the shtar. And that's exactly what the Chachamim say. The Chachamim also agree that you lose nothing by giving back the shtar. Correct?
When the lov is moder.
If the lov is moda, you don't lose anything by giving back the shtar. Just one second. That doesn't make any sense. One second. Since he says machlokes kisha ein chayev moda hutzak loves the same avol kisha chayev moda. In other words, we're not chosh lekinunya. Is divrei hakol yachzir. I don't understand exactly why A forces B, but let's just first accept it as an axiom. If the machlokes is b'she'ein chayev mode, then it must be that in the case of k'shechayev mode, there is no machlokes. And what does that mean? It means we're going to return the shtar to the malva, which means that we're not choshesh for piron and kenunya. And that's against the b'risa, because the b'risa says we are choshesh for kenunya. And that's why the b'risa says that k'she'ein chayev mode, I'm sorry, Kisha ein chayev moda, Kishain Khadivikal Kishah, I'm sorry, Kishachayev Moda, the Brisa says, is lo chayshinul kenunya, right? Because everybody agrees that you return the shtar. That's against Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar says that in the case of kishachayev mode, everybody agrees that you return the shtar. Be right. Everybody agrees that what? Just 1 second. Avol kishachayev mode is divrei hakol yachzir, which means we're not choshesh lepiron.
No,
Piron, Piron and Kenun. Yeah? You're going to use the word Piron, I mean Kenun, just 1 second. So according to the Bryce, just give me a second here. I can't answer questions, I apologize. I just have to get to mathematics, I apologize. You know, I always quote Plato's Republic, you know. You have to read Plato's Republic to appreciate why I can't answer questions. Okay. Ah, well, Shechayev Modeh, if it's a case of the Lovis Modeh, Moda is then the Rea called Yaxir, the Lochai Shinon, Le Kenunya. 1 second. If the Brisa says that what? Just give me a second here, I'm sorry. Shtar, what's the Brisa? Shtar. Shtar she'ein bochrayus has dinim shtar she'ish bochrayus, and even if shnei modim, we cannot return the shtar. I'm sorry. According to the Brice itself, even if shnei modim, we cannot return the shtar. Okay, let's make a note of this. For me, I have to write this out. B'shneim modim, according to the Brice, right? Right, even the lov is moda that he didn't pay up the chov is lo yachzir. Why lo yachzir? Because chayshinon lepiron. So then, according to the brisa, the machlokus is going to be in a case of lov and moda. Which, if the lov is moda, we give it back according to Rabbi Meir. And according to Rabbanon, Achrayus Tosofah, okay, we can't bring. So that's a case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus. So according to the Brice of the Machlokes, is in a case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus. Correct. So if it's ein bo achrayus, is therefore Rabbi Meir holds that what? That since the love admits that he didn't pay, and it's not collected from Lekuchos, and the Chacham hold that we can't give it back because Achrayus Tos Sofer. Okay, so then the Machlokes is going to be, just 1 second, let me just work this out, is when the Lova is Mode, correct? Kishe Lova Mode. Shelove mode, but in the case of just 1 second, love is mode, but the machlokus is in the case of a shtar sheishbo achrayus. Just 1 second, if it's a shtar sheishbo achrayus, then we can't give it because lekuchos, because chayshin and lepiron. Lepiron means kenunya. Okay. But in a case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, that's where the machlokus is. Oh. But now, according to Rabbi Elazar, who holds that the machlokus is going to be in a case of ein halova moda, right? So let's write down Rabbi Elazar. This is something you should chart out, you know. Is ein halova moda. So what's going to be the machlokus now between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim? Rabbi Meir is going to hold that what? That if it's ein halova moda, and therefore what? Therefore there's no problem in returning the shtar to the malva. And what are we talking about? Just 1 second. Are we talking about she'ein halova moda, and therefore the machlokus is going to be whether we return the shtar to the malve. That Rav Meir holds that the shtar is invalid, right? So Rav Meir holds that even though the lov is denying the chov, but the shtar is not collectible from the bnei chori. That was Rav Elazar's chiddush over here. That Rav Meir holds that it's not worth anything. So therefore, there's no problem. And even if the lov is claiming that it was mizuyu, so there's no claim on the gufo shel shtar alatzal pitzli chuso. So now that we've already established that what? That the machlokas stream of man chacham according to Rabbi Lazar is in a case of ein halova moda. Ein halova moda. So therefore what? Right? So we're talking about, let's say, a shtar she'ein bo achrayis, correct? Because Rav Meir says that the lova loses nothing because it's a shtar she'ein bo achrayis. She'ein bo achrayis. Which, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rav Meir holds is not worth the paper it's written on. As far as, I mean, it's worth it for the paper, but that nothing beyond the paper. So therefore, what? According to Rabbi Elazar, if that's going to be the machlokes in Ishtar She'ein Bo Achrayis, I'm almost there, Rabbi Elazar. Just bear with me for one more minute. I think I'm almost there. Is therefore, if the machlokes is in the case of Ein Alov Moda, so now Rabbi Elazar is going to have to say that in the case where the Lov is Moda, is everybody holds that Yachzir knows Eve, but, right? Because what is Rabbi Elazar worried about in Shtar She'ein Bo Achrayus? He's worried about the Lova, correct? Because there's no Achrayus, so there's no fear of the Lekuchos. But Ella, what he's worried about the Lova, and therefore in a case of a Shtar She'ein Bo Achrayus, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir, we can return the shtar because it's not collectible from the lova, because the shtar is worthless. Right? A shtar she'ein bo achrayis, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, is worthless, so you can give it back to the malva. The lova stands to lose nothing. So we want to shut the lekuchas, don't lose anything, and the lova doesn't lose anything. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Now, when we get to the chachamim, the Chacham are going to say what? That if we give the shtar back to the... So what... So just one second. And what are the Chacham are going to say? Just one second. Rabbanan Savri... Oh! Rabbanan Savri, Migbe Gavi. The Rabbanan hold, according to Rabbi Elazar, that the shtar is valid. Right? The shtar collects from Bnei Chori. So therefore we cannot return the shtar to the malva, because the lova is denying the chov, and if once you give the weapon over to the malva, you can collect from the lova, because the chacham hold that this shtar she'ein bo achrayis is meaningful. That's according to Rabbi Elazar, correct? Oh, so now Rabbi Elazar is going to say that in a case where what? Where the lova is moda, then there's going to be no machlokes. This is going to be no machlokes, and we can return the shtar, right? Kuli alma lo pli, that we can return the shtar to the malve. It means lo chayshina le kinunya. So the brisa holds chayshina le kinunya, and Rabbi Lesa says lo chayshina le kinunya. But that's a spinoff. That's a spinoff of another machlokes, which means that the brisa holds that in a case where, just one second, if according to the price, if the lova is moda, is lo yachzir because chayshina lepiron, is a shtar she'ein bo achrayus. And let's go back to the price one more time. So the price of, where's the price? Sorry. The trouble with this masif is that if you want to look where you underline things, you have to keep turning pages. Okay, so now the Braisa says that what? That Ein Bo Achrayus, second. Shtar shein bo achrayus. It means that maybe shtari chov sheish bo achrayus. Fine. Is gove minachosim mishubadim v'she'ein b'hem achrayus nachosim gove minachosim b'nei chorin v'achomim omrim echad zeh v'echad zeh v'neshtar that doesn't have achrayus is gove minachosim b'nei shom, and therefore the machlokus is going to be neshtar she'ein bo achrayus, right? Machlokus is going to be neshtar she'ein bo achrayus. And what's going to happen over here? We cannot return the shtar according to the chacham because achrayus tos sofer. And in the case of a shtar sheyesh bo achrayus, we're going to have to worry about piron and kinunya. So in the case of a shtar sheyesh bo achrayus, is everybody agrees that let's go slow. If it's a shtar shein bo achrayus, let me just read the price just one more time. Okay. Motzah shtari chov. I'm just reading the price one more time. Motzah shtari chov. V'yesh b'hem achrayus nechosim. Is we cannot give it back. And what? And everybody agrees that we cannot give it back because of kinunya, correct? So that's that. But that's not the part we want to get to. The part we want to get to is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachomim is in the case of shtar shein bo achrayus, and the lova is mode. And the lova is mode. So therefore Rabbi Meir holds that if it's a shtar sheish b'machrayus, then it's govim mishubodim, but she'im b'machrayus is govim ibnei chorin, and if what? Some she'im modim, some machlokis is going to be shelov v'mode, so the lov is mode. Shtar sheyesh bo achrayus. So shtar sheyesh bo achrayus is what? I have to go over the braisa one more time. Sorry. Okay. Let's read over the braisa one more time. Motzah shtar chov v'yesh bo achrayus nechosim. Is afal pisha shneim modim, so that's kinunya, correct? We can't return the shtar because of kinunya, and that's according to everybody. So what's going to be machlokas Rabbi Meir Chachom? It's going to be a shtar she'ein b'machrayus, and according to Rabbi Meir, we have no problem if the lov is modim returning the shtar. That was the mimonav shtar. Oh, right. Oh, but if the lova denies the chov, then even Rabbi Meir holds we can't give back the chov, the shtar, because the shtar is valid. Well, that's against Rabbi Elazar. So that's number one. So we now have a stira to Rabbi Elazar from the case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus in the case where what? Shtar she'ein bo achrayus, if the lova denies the chov, then we cannot return the shtar. Oh, but if the lova admits the chov, right? If the lova admits the chov, then we can return the shtar, and the shtar is collectible. And that's called yachzil malva. So the Brisa says explicitly that according to Rabbi Meir, we're going to return the chov, return the shtar to the malve in a case where the lov is mode, and that's going to be the machlokes between Chachomim and Rabbi Meir, because the Chachomim are going to say that Achrayis told Sof, and the Lekuchas have something to lose. And Rav Meir is going to say, Mimonavshach, since there's no Achrayis in the Shtar, therefore the Lekuchas have nothing to lose, correct? And now we're up to the Lova. So if the Lova is Moda, then the Shtar is collectible, and therefore we can return the Shtar. So again, we're going to return the Shtar to the Malva because the Lova is Moda. Let's write that down. We're going to return the shtar. Rabbi Meir holds in the Braisa that if ein bo achrayus, that's condition number one, and condition number two is halove mode, then return the shtar to the malva. Correct? We return the shtar to the malva. Why? Because we monavshah. There's no achrayus, no loss to the lekuchos. The lova himself is modeh, so there's no loss to the lova. But basically, what Rabbi Meir is holding is that the shtar itself is valid. It's a valid shtar, correct? Mm-hmm. And it can be used against the lova. That's against Rabbi Elazar. Now we go back to Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar says that in a shtar, She'ein bo achrayus, it's against the protocol of the Hilchos Shtaros, and it's completely not valid.
So that's the nekuda of the Chadah, whether the
I think so, yeah. But the spin-off is a second stira between the Braisa and Rabbi Elazar, and that's about Chayshin l'kinunya. Why? Because the Braisa holds that the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham is in a shtar she'ein bo achrayus. And the lova is moda. So if the shtar she'ein bo achrayus and the lova is moda, then we have a machlokus. But if it's a case of shneim modim, right? Then we do. Then if the if it's a case where the lova is moda, the lova is moda, and everybody agrees that Chayshin and Lepiron. Correct? So the Braisa holds that the Machlokus is in Ein Bo Achrayus. Now if Yesh Bo Achrayus, if Yesh Bo Achrayus in the Braisa, and the Lov is Modeh, that he didn't pay up, so why does the Braisa say that everybody's Modeh that lo yachzir in a case of Yesh Bachrayus? Correct? Yesh Bachrayus, the lov is modeh, so why not return the shtar to the malva? You'll collect from the lekuchas because the shtar is a valid shtar. The answer is we can't validate the shtar because chayshin and lepiron ulekinunya. Correct? And that's going to be against Rabbi Elazar. Why? Let's go back to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says that Rabbi Elazar says that the machlokus is only in the case of ena chayev moda, but if chayev moda, then everybody agrees he can return the shtar. So according to Rabbi Elazar, if the lova is moda, then you can return the shtar. Why? Because lo chayshin lepiron. Whereas the Braisa says that if the lova is moda, lo yachzir, because chayshin lepiron. So the Gemara is saying that's called chada. Why is that called chada? Because Rabbi Elazar, in a sense, has backed himself into a corner. How has he backed himself into a corner? Because he said the machlokas is in a case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus. Correct? A shtar she'ein bo achrayus, where Rabbi Meir holds that the reason why you could return the shtar, even in a case where the lova denies that he paid back, is because the shtar is meaningless. Right? It's worthless. Oh, so once Rabbi Elazar now he boxes himself into a corner. Why? Because if the machlokus is going to be in the case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayus, because ein alova moda, the lova is denying it, then obviously in the case where the lova is moda, there is no machlokus, which means that if it's shtar shein bo achrayus, we're going to apply the mimon of shach, right? To the lova is moda, and there's no vulnerability of the lekuchos. What about chayshin lepiron? He's going to have to say that lo chayshin lepiron. That's what I got out of it. So maybe Bli Neder will try to go over this one more time just to make sure we have all. You need like a chart here, you know, with all the factors and all the variables. Okay, let's learn a little bit of Yeridea today. Just a little bit. We don't have that much time. Does anybody have